Welcome back to more Northwest Georgia Sports Live on Talk Radio WLAQ AM 1410 and the new 96.9 FM.
All right, Ian, you made a comment last week about how I'd gotten away from the Rocky soundtrack music, brought it back.
Well, Matt, I know I've told you that me and my son are going through all the classic 80s and 90s fighting movies, and he's seen Rocky IV, but he hasn't seen all of them, and he's ready for a Rocky marathon, so I'm pretty pumped about this. It's coming up this weekend.
All that to say, we now have on the line with us recruiting analyst from 24/7 Sports, Rusty Mansell, joins us again. What's going on, man?
Hoping we're getting one day closer to football season.
Yes.
Preach on.
Definitely. And of course, as you might imagine, we got some questions for you about that, because obviously doing what you do, you have some different perspective on it than a lot of us do. So the first question I got for you, Rusty, the last time that we talked with you, you know, everything was still kind of at a standstill, lockdown, those kind of things. But since we last had you on the show, things have opened up quite a bit, and you've actually been out and about a little. So tell us what you've been up to.
Well, I mean, I've got out. I think everybody pretty much thought around the turn of June, the start of June, things were looking a lot better, and obviously the numbers were a lot better. And the college kids reported back June the 7th, I believe, to most SEC schools, and then June the 13th, the high school teams got back, and it seemed like things were definitely trending. I started going out and watching some high school teams and practices and stuff, and went on vacation, went down to Florida with my family for 4 or 5 days, and things seemed like when I got back from vacation here late June, it's really taken a turn for cause of concern. The numbers are there. I don't pretend to be the expert, but, the narrative right now is things are not trending in the right way, and, to see Governor Kemp do what he did last week to hit 7 or 8 cities and really pushed, hey, let's wear a mask. You know, if you guys want college football, if you want, high school football in the fall, then, I think July is a very, very, very critical month. I don't think any decisions have been made yet, but the way it's trending, man, we've got to reverse this in a hurry.
Wow, very, very interesting comments. And of course, as you mentioned, most GHSA schools started their workouts on June 8th. I know the dead week was this past week. Yeah. And they're starting to loosen up some more restrictions. But when you kind of read the articles about it, obviously the executive director of the GHSA, Robin Hines, he's quick to say that, yes, we're easing some of these restrictions because we got to stay on the timeline. But just as much as we opened it up, we can shut it down. And so very, very critical time, as you mentioned. But when you talk to, I know you're in touch with a lot of different coaches and things like that. I'm not necessarily asking you to name any of them. But what kind of feedback are you getting from the coaches on how things have gone so far under the new circumstances?
Well, I mean, it's different places. Like, I talked to probably 4 or 5 high school coaches today, and, I would say 3 of them were, everything was very positive, and 2 of them was very concerned. There's some places that had some kids test positive, and, we don't have the capability, nor should they have the capability, because of the financial means to test every kid. They're doing what they're taught. They're doing temperature checks. And in fact, my daughter is a senior at Pepperell. She came to practice one day, and she had a fever of 100.2. They shot her temperature. As soon as she got out of the car, they put her back in the car and went home. We went and had a test done, and 4 days later, she was cleared. But we still stayed out another 3 or 4 days just in case she was negative. And, they're doing what they can do, but I just don't know if we can, without testing like colleges are doing. I really don't know what the answer is. I do know that what you said with Dr. Hines, they are preparing to have a football season. These athletes are getting in shape, but he could pull the plug at any minute. Now, I think, they relinquished some of the restrictions this week. I'm very interested. They usually meet on Thursdays. I'm very interested to see what the release is, what they do next week. Do they allow more? Do they back them off? That's kind of going to tell you what they're thinking going over the next 2 weeks, because the next 2 weeks are really and truthfully the last quote-unquote training. And then if we're going to play August the 19th in the state of Georgia, and we're going to have to get to some pads, or we're going to get to some practicing and that type of thing. So, you know, I think the next 2 weeks are going to be very, very telling as far as do we delay a start, to move the start back 2 weeks to buy time, do we start on time, or what other options they have. But I really think the next 2 weeks are going to be really, really critical in this decision backing.
Now, as far as college is concerned, because obviously you've seen a lot of different, some of the major programs reporting a lot of cases and things like that. And I know last week we were talking about Georgia Tech had a few cases that were to spring up and things like that, which I think everybody expected that. But when you look at college football, you know, how do you see things proceeding from this point forward? Is it kind of similar to what you're seeing with high schools, or you think there's going to be more emphasis to try to move forward even with the spike in cases that you're seeing there?
That's the difference. And the difference in college and high school is college can survive without fans. It wouldn't be ideal, but with the TV money, most of the universities have enough to get through a season. If they had to play five home games with very minimal fans, I believe they could do that. High school football, they can't pay the bills without fans. They cannot pay the bills without behinds in the seats and that type of thing. So there's two totally different looks as far as that determined. And the safety factor, you know, I don't feel like it's such an issue for the players. I worry about that, you know, that one school that has an older linebacker coach, maybe got an underlying health condition he's not really aware of. He gets it from a player, and then we have a very serious issue. You know, those are the type of situations I worry about. But with college, I saw Notre Dame today say they had zero tests. Tennessee says they've had zero positive. You know, from my sources at Georgia said they've had a few. You know, I know Alabama's had a few. Clemson had a large group. But, you know, I think those kids are going to be okay. It's the decision of what they're going to do with fans and college football. And the travel, you know, I saw Paul Feinbaum make a good point. What would be the benefit of Tennessee playing Charlotte in Knoxville a week before a big SEC game against Florida, I believe, to put everybody at risk and put players at risk that you would have them out for the Florida game and you played them against Charlotte? So there's a lot of questions that's really only going to be answered in time if we have a season. So, again, I think everybody's just watching data, but at some point, Matt, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, somebody's going to have to make a decision, and it's going to have to, you know, the data's going to have to be a large part of that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, Rusty. And you know, you mentioned that Tennessee-Charlotte game. You think about how this will affect the FBS programs and some of the the group of five programs that get paid big money to play these Division I schools. And then, you know, like it or not, you see Georgia State beat Tennessee last year. Obviously, Tennessee needed some tune-ups before they took on the big boys. So teams lose that opportunity to go out there and get a feel for the chemistry that they have and test some things out against a lesser opponent. So that'll definitely affect the product that we get on the field. I kind of wanted to shift and ask you some questions about recruiting and how that has taken place. How familiar are you with these virtual visits? Because I keep reading about recruits being blown away by the virtual visit. How are those working, and what do you know about that?
You know, it's funny because I just saw there's a five-star offensive tackle, Tristan Lee, in the 2021 class. He's on Florida State's campus right now. He is at Florida State with his family. He can't meet with the staff. He can't do anything now. He can be on the phone, FaceTiming him as he's walking around. They can say, that's the dorm. That's our cafeteria. You know, you can do that. Georgia's going to have a kid come from California this weekend for a two-day trip into Athens. And, you know, he can't meet with Georgia at all, can't quote-unquote bump into their staff. I mean, that's the new thing right now. Kids are coming on business on their own, even when the campuses, even when they can't meet with the staff. They can come look at the facilities and those types of things. But the Zoom meetings and the virtual meetings, the virtual visits are certainly a big thing. And I think that that's something that the staffs have adapted to, the Zoom calls for sure. But you get a chance to see. I actually got to see one Arkansas put on through a player. I looked on his. He showed me on his phone and showed me the thing. And it was really cool. I mean, you could see clear the facilities they got, what dorms you would have. The academic centers, you know, what a typical meal plan looks like. And they actually showed you the meals you got in a regular day. So It's a good representation. It's that match. You've been following this long enough. You see those kids sometimes say, man, I just felt like home when I was at that school.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get that feel because you're not there, you know. And so this 2021 class has been a totally, totally different situation. And right now, just kind of hurt for those guys because a lot of those guys are making decisions and hoping for the best.
Rusty, I have a question kind of shifting back to possibilities for the upcoming season. And I've heard different theories of what could possibly happen, pushing the season back, eliminating some of those lesser opponents, as you mentioned earlier, having more of a conference-driven schedule. And I've even seen a couple of things about making suggestions of possibly moving stuff to the spring. But that just doesn't seem like that's much of a possibility, no. Does it?
No, I can tell you this, and I haven't even asked, but I can tell you this. If they move that stuff to the spring, you will never see Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence ever play a college football game again because that's just too close to the NFL. That's too close for those guys. If one of them were to get hurt, you know, it affects their rehab and time and all that kind of stuff. And it wouldn't just be those guys. It would be Georgia would probably lose some players. You know, Alabama would probably lose some players. If that's the only way they could do that, then maybe they do it. I just can't see them moving into the springtime. Maybe I'm wrong, but we'll see. But, you know, there's a lot of decisions that's going to be made. I even heard the scenario of the day that what if they only play conference games and there's no bowl games and there's no playoffs, but everybody's going to get their 10 games or their 9 games, you know? I don't know that. But I think that as football fans, we would take anything if we knew, hey, you know, Georgia Tech and Georgia are going to get 12 games. You know, we're getting that. There's no guarantees past it. And then what's going on right now, I think everybody would be like, hey, we'll take it. So I don't know that's the case. That's the one scenario that was thrown at me. But I do know, without naming the school, I do have a good friend that has a nephew in a college band in the South here, and they've already told them you're not going on away game. You know, the band will not be traveling this year. And this is a big university. So that tells you, you know, there's already some things in place. That, you know, why would you put 110 kids on two buses and drive them 4 hours to the game, home, back, and all that? So there's going to be a different season no matter how this thing plays out. This is always going to be a 2020, you know, the 2020 college football season is going to be a different one for sure.
If you're just tuning in, recruiting analyst from 24/7 Sports, Rusty Mansell, is giving us some time today, and we certainly appreciate that. Rusty, let's pretend that everything proceeds as planned, and let's talk some college football. We do want to talk some Georgia and then maybe talk a little Georgia Tech with you. But, of course, Georgia football this year is going to look a lot different because people expect, I would assume, that Jamie Newman will be the top-of-the-line quarterback for them, I suppose. And very different type of quarterback than what you get used to with Georgia, different skill set, and had a great run, of course, at Wake Forest, but a different level of talent around him now. And so what do you think that's going to look like for Georgia, assuming there's a season?
But, you know, the Georgia fans I talk to that really pay attention to what's going on understand that as good as Georgia was on defense last year, they might be better. This could be one of the best Georgia defenses they've had. And I say that because they don't quite have that superstar. They got some really good players, but they got a lot of upperclassmen. They got a lot of guys. But you got something like Richard LeCount, Malik Heron, Monty Rice, Eric Stokes. You got all these guys that have played that are 2 to 3 year starters now. And it's so hard to get that combination of upperclassmen in today's world of college football, and they're going to be really, really good on defense. Now, it'll be a totally new offense. Like I said, most likely Jamie Newman's a guy. I mean, I'm telling you right now, the Georgia fans, when they see him up close, I didn't realize how big he was. I thought he was a 6'2". When I saw him work out this summer, this guy's 6'4". He's probably 225 pounds. This guy is huge. And I think Georgia fans would really, really like to see him play and what he can do in the SEC. But, you know, flipping over to Georgia Tech, I think once you look at Georgia Tech, I was just looking at their stuff yesterday. And listen, everybody knew that Coach Collins had to do a complete flip of that roster, just totally, basically, it's like building a house, man, or remodeling a house. You got to gut it. And they needed offensive linemen, defensive linemen. They've taken transfers. This was a, you know, the reason why he got that long deal was because everybody knew this was a long-term project. But I really like what they've done in recruiting. I really like what they've done in the transfers. Specifically, though, on the offense and defensive line, they took a big step forward, I think, in the last year. And I'm very interested to hopefully get to see what they can do, because they've done a really good job in recruiting, and they have really, really, really sold that 404 brand, and they have recruited the city of Atlanta extremely, extremely hard. And look, you get a guy like Miles Spider Spider Sims out of Michigan transfers in. You get Derek Allen to come back from Notre Dame, a kid that was at Lasseter High School. You get all these transfers back in, and that shows you they're doing things right there, too.
Now, Rusty, when you look at the schedule and the way it lines up for Georgia Tech, obviously they open up against Clemson in Atlanta, yep, Bobby Dye. It's going to be a tough game, but when you look at the rest of the schedule, Gardner-Webb, UCF, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Virginia, Pitt, Syracuse, Duke, Notre Dame, Miami, and Georgia – obviously, you expect to see improvement from year one to year two. Last year, they won three games. What do you think reasonable expectations would be for Georgia Tech fans to see from Georgia Tech in terms of that improvement?
I think Georgia Tech should make a run at a bowl. I think they should really I think they can take – you know, I don't want to put a number because I haven't dug completely into them yet. I'm starting to do that now for my August 1st preview deal. And but I'm just telling you, man, I like where they're at and the depth they added. You know, you get Clemson out of the way. Look, Clemson, if we play this season and I have went through Clemson, and Clemson with – even with Trevor, but Travis Etienne, all those guys coming back, I mean, they are loaded. Let me tell you something. And what they brought in, freshman defensive lineman, who I spent the week with in San Antonio, it's scary. But you get through them, and you're healthy, and you get through that game. And, you know, Georgia Tech should be at a spot where they compete every single week, week in and week out. And they shouldn't walk into games saying, hey, this is going to be an L. They're behind Clemson and Georgia. I don't think any Georgia Tech fan would say they know that's different level right now. But you take those two out of the mix, and then you say, hey, we can compete every single week and have a chance to realistically win every week. Next thing you know, you scrape two or three of those. You're not supposed to have one. And next thing you know, you're sitting there with 7 or 8 wins. And I think that they're really going to take a step forward this year. But I think the recruiting is where it started for those guys. And we'll see what they can do this year.
Hey, Rusty, I want to jump back over to Georgia. You know, you talked about Jamie Newman. Obviously, yeah, he's very familiar with the style of offense that Todd Monken brings in, new offensive coordinator at Georgia, too. How much does missing spring and having these abbreviated practices hurt them early in the season? Because when you look at Georgia's schedule, they've got to go to Tuscaloosa in week three. And I'm with you. I think that defense is going to be unreal. But will the offense be able to move the ball enough against what should be a really good Alabama defense as well that early in the season?
Sure. You know, I think that Jamie Newman, you know, he's a 22-year-old man. I mean, he is, you know, you graduate from Wake Forest early. That tells you a lot about who he is and what type of person and work ethic he's got. And you see him physically and you're like, wow. I think that he's going to be okay. I think what's not getting talked about enough was losing Andrew Thomas, Isaiah Wilson, and Solomon Kinley. And two of them went in the first round, and one of them went in the fourth round. So Georgia, with a new offensive line coach, Matt Luke, who's done a tremendous job already recruiting, he didn't get a chance to work with his guys during the spring. So who's going to man those spots? You know, who's going to play right tackle? It's Tate Riley. Tate, you know, kind of the buzz around Athens right now was nice. One of the freshmen that came in really good shape was Tate Ratledge. So, you know, there's a young local player for this area come in and start. Andrew Thomas started left at right tackle as a freshman for 15 games, and he moved over to left tackle a sophomore year. So, you know, to me, I think Jamie Newman's going to be fine. But he gets to get all the offense. He knows everything. But it's that time and that jail and who is going to play offensive line. That's the biggest question, I think, on the offense for Georgia, because they got playmakers. The wide receivers, I heard Dominique Blaylock is doing a lot better rehab than anticipated. George Pickens, is who he is. They brought in these four young freshman wide receivers that are freak shows, for lack of a better term. I think they're going to be okay offensively. I think the biggest problem for Georgia was who is going to be those starting five offensive linemen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. And lost another that transferred to Tennessee, so four starters from last year. So that is key, and I think that's the thing to watch with Georgia. But you know Kirby has recruited lights out, so I'm sure we'll learn some new names really quick this season.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, like I said, Kate, there's a good point there with Cade Mays. But Jamari Sawyer, and there are a lot of guys following him on social media, the guy that went into the quarantine at 340. Well, he goes home to Atlanta, and he works out with Andrew Thomas, and they start just locking in every day. And, you know, he tweets out a video. I think last week he was 308 pounds. So you're talking about a guy that was a former five-star Pace Academy. Everybody saw him play it. You know, they played Darlington up here a couple of years ago. They won state championship. They had Andrew Thomas on offensive line. He went number four this year. Jamari Sawyer probably going to play left tackle this year for Georgia. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that just been waiting their time, but certainly they got some guys who got to step. I think right tackle is wide open. And, look, I don't want to put any pressure on Tate. I haven't talked to Tate since he got to Georgia. That's kind of his deal for now. But the word is that he showed up, and he has been really impressive in workouts. So, you know, who knows? It's not out of the question that he might be that, you know, starter there, right tackle.
That would be really neat to see as somebody that had the opportunity to watch him play a lot over the last couple of years. Well, Rusty, we really appreciate you giving us some time today here on the program, and we hope that we're able to check in with you when the action gets started here pretty soon and get some more updates from you. It's a lot of fun to talk to you.
Another kid they follow real quick is C.J. Washington out of Cedartown. 2022 linebacker, one of the top players in the country. His position announced this morning that he's going to make a decision on the 22nd of this month. He is down to Georgia, LSU, and Tennessee. So that's some more very, very talented players here in our area.
Awesome, man.
I'd love to ask you before we get you off the phone, if the season plays out as we all hope it does, who's in Atlanta the first weekend of December?
I just can't see anybody in the East knocking Georgia off of that defense. Now, it might be a rematch between Georgia and Alabama because I certainly think Georgia will have their hands full going into Tuscaloosa. But I'll dig in. I know everybody kind of likes Florida. It's kind of the flavor of the summer right now. But I'm just telling you, man, that you know the last two times they've matched up, Georgia's defense has smothered Florida. There's a lot of people that know more about Georgia football than me in the history, but I'm telling you, I don't know if they've ever had a better defense on paper than what they're about to put out there. And I know that Kirby Smart is praying to all the favors he can in. He wants to play this season because you don't get many opportunities to coach this many upperclassmen on one side of the ball, and the cards are lined up right for them on defense this year.
Hey, I did want to ask you one more question before we let you go, but we've been talking about the East quite a bit, but I did want to talk about the West. You already mentioned Alabama. Obviously, last year, they had the talent, had some injuries and things that happened to them throughout the season. And then there was LSU that was just a different animal last year. So how do you see that playing out this year? Obviously, you mentioned you felt like Alabama would be, you know, potentially in Atlanta come December. What do you think about LSU this year? How much of a step back do you think they take?
Dan, it's hard to lose. What did they lose? What they have 16 players drafted? 15?
Yeah.
And then they had freaking Joe Montana, basically. you know, it was a perfect storm. And I'm not taking anything away because I saw the Georgia LSU game. And I'm telling you right now that LSU was, they were as good as any team I've been around, any team I've seen in person. That every position, they had offensive line, they had defensive line. But people don't realize how good Joe Burrow was and what he did with his legs, because there was two times in that game. Go back and watch that game about a week ago. There was two times in that game where Georgia dialed up the perfect blitz. I'm talking a guy comes free and nobody touches him. And both times Joe Burrow made that guy miss, and then he hurt him with big plays. So those little things like that is so hard to replace. I do think Ed Orgeron has done a great job there. They have recruited off the charts, but, man, they have a ton to replace, and it starts at quarterback. We'll see if Miles Brennan can be that guy. Another young man out of Oconee County, Max Johnson, is a true freshman down there. I will say this, and everybody in this Northwest Georgia has seen this. they took one of the best players in the country from Marietta High School, Eric Gilbert. He's going to play tight end slash wide receiver down there. So they're going to have more weapons, but it's going to start at quarterback, and they're going to be awfully, awfully young in LSU this year.
Are you looking forward as much as we are to Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin being over there in the West?
You know, that crushed me that we didn't have SEC media days. I just had told somebody, you know, after I go that every year. And last year it was kind of like, you know what, it was in Birmingham. That's kind of it. You know, that was the last time for me. And I've been 6 or 7 times. And all of a sudden, they hired Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach. I was like, I'll be tailgating. I will be there 2 days early. And it's in Atlanta this year. And, man, I tell you, man, it's just – that really, because that would be next week. That would start. You know what? It'd be this week right now, is what it would be. So, man, that hurts to even think about that. But that would have been fun to watch those guys. But yeah, you know, with all things going on in the world and everything, I thought it was really good to see Coach Kiffin and Coach Leach together fighting for the change of the flag in the state of Mississippi. And look, Lane Kiffin was very involved. Was like, hey, if you guys want this program to go to the next level, we can't get kids here, and I don't want to sell the program like this. So I thought that was very, very good for those guys to get involved with that and get that changed.
And even in that situation, Mike Leach took an opportunity, I don't know if you saw this, to pull Lane Kiffin's mask and pop it in his face.
I mean, I couldn't even imagine him at SEC Media Days. I mean, it would have been off the charts great, the quotes he would have gave.
He spends 90% of his time talking about things that aren't related to football.
No question. Yeah. When you walk into that room, if you ever been, man, it's, you know, you've got 1,000 reporters, and, you know, he comes in, and so – it's in Nashville next year. I hope things continue we get to have those things, and it doesn't turn into one of those Zoom meetings, that type of thing. So we'll see. Looking forward to it. I got to go 1 year with those two guys before I retire from that.
Definitely. That's a bucket list thing you never thought you'd have the opportunity for, probably.
Right. Yep, definitely.
Well, Rusty, thank you so much for giving us your time today. We really appreciate it. It's a lot of fun talking with you.
Appreciate it, guys.